Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart, a.k.a. Professor Longhair.
Jordan Morris, fun and flirty new summer do.
Oh, really?
If we're commenting on our hairs.
Yeah, you look fun and flirty.
Mm-hmm.
I look like a guy that doesn't have a haircut.
Mm.
Do you understand the distinction I'm making?
You don't have hair.
That's true.
So I'm confused.
Okay.
But maybe you can help me unpack this.
I have some hair. I'm not without hair.
Sure.
I'm not entirely without hair.
I'm not talking about head hair, though.
Yeah, no, I have hair on my head.
Yeah.
Look at all these hairs.
Oh. I thought that was a weird shadow.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I could see some.
Here's the thing about
what's the issue?
The issue here is this.
Right.
By the way, you do have a fun and flirty new do. It's a little shorter on the sides, a little longer up top.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect for the season, and you're going to catch a lot of eyes when you're boating at the park.
Yeah. And I'm fast in the water, too. I'm very sleek like a missile.
I'm not just talking about gators, Jordan.
Oh, well.
But do watch out for gators. If you catch their eye, they can be trouble.
No, I know. They're different than crocodiles.
That's true.
I know that.
One of them has two sets of eyelids.
Nothing else.
The other one doesn't? Is that correct?
One lives in Asia.
Dinosaur. Terrible lizard.
Right. Birds.
Terrible lizard.
Symbiotic relationship with birds.
Dinosaurs do?
Dinosaurs are direct descendants of birds, but yeah. I'm talking about the crocos and the gators, how the bird lands in their mouth, cleans their teeth.
Oh, I got a symbiotic relationship with Spider-Man myself.
Right, because you're
his space costume.
You're a space liquid.
Okay, anyway, what I was saying is about the difference between a haircut and not a haircut.
You are afraid that your hair is getting too long.
Here's the thing. When you have very short hair, which I do, so I don't have like a – I never have a – like a Bic razor shave, a Mr. Clean hairstyle. Mm-hmm. Doesn't suit me.
Right.
And I don't like to have a – like a football hooligan – shaved head.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like where I'm just putting it on number one
or
number zero and
sure.
just shaving it all over. Because when you're in the lifestyle.
The football hooligan lifestyle?
No, the short hair lifestyle. When you're in the short hair lifestyle, you start to notice Manchester United. The differences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an Arsenal man, but.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I'll be hitting you with a mug later.
So, Stampede!
Yeah.
That's something that happens at soccer games.
They all run into
convenience. Should we not joke about that because dozens of people die?
Hard to say.
So anyway, you notice the differences, and there is a haircut, which is you just get yourself one of those electric razors, and you just set it to zero, and you just go over it, and it's all the same length.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go to the barber. I like to get my hair tapered. I like to have a little bit if you can't cut a fade, you can't touch my hair, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to have – it should be a haircut.
You want a step cut?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually get my eyebrows notched.
I had a little period of asking for a step cut in like maybe 6th grade, 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I looked amazing.
I would love to have like a Chris Mullin-style high top with like gelled up.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'd love to shoot threes like that. But anyway, I will go to the barber and I get the haircut.
Mm-hmm.
A nice barber shop on Figueroa Boulevard in Los Angeles. Nice guys. They tell me about their kids going to Yosemite and stuff, how long they had to wait in line to get in. All this kind of thing.
Sure. National Park lines.
Yeah.
Classic barbershop conversation.
Yeah.
How the Knicks doing?
Our guest on this program, the intro of which is going a little long, and I want to involve her in this conversation because she's got a fun and flirty summer do herself.
Yeah.
She is the host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. She is a pop culture writer at NPR. although no longer of the same titled blog formerly. That has come to an end, but she's continuing to be a print writer.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a novelist with a book on the way.
That's right.
The great Linda Holmes.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Jordan. It's so good to be back with you guys.
Yes. I like our yearly tradition of you coming on the show when you're in town for the Television Critics Association.
That's true. And I was realizing I had a very different lovely experience last year because I did this with Jordan and Danielle.
Oh, yeah.
But I've not actually sat down with the two of you guys since 2015. So I feel...
So much has changed.
So much has changed in all
There's been
our
several
lives.
Deadpool movies. So do you guys just want to talk about...
Superheroes are snarky now.
Sure,
No, but I have to... I feel like I have to catch up now on this hair conversation because, Jesse, I think... I did notice when I saw you that you had a beard reduction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. I said Jesse's had a beard reduction, and it made me think of a conversation I recently had with my friend Stephen Thompson, who is on Pop Culture Happy Hour with me. Wears his hair like roughly shoulder length, but is a man in his 40s.
Yeah,
and said to me recently,
he's what they call a pretty dad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And recently said to me, I am well aware that I am in the transition from young Peter Frampton to old Peter Frampton.
Wow! So he's in a liminal state between Framptons.
He's mid Frampton.
Right.
He's Framptoning through
a gradual
situation.
He's coming alive.
He's coming alive.
As Frampton once did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think long hair on a man is a classic example of it takes an amount of care and energy that many men, even those with long hair, are not willing to give it in order to not just look like you forgot the address of your barber. You know, like there's such a fine line between early Brad Pitt and a less flattering thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Man who skateboards to work.
Yeah. Like I think our friend Jonathan Colton, he's a guy who sometimes has longer hair.
Yeah.
And I always think... I think Jonathan Colton will look handsome with longer hair until the day he dies.
I was going to say, I think he will have lovely, wavy, longer hair forever.
Stephen Malkmus.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Oh, no, sorry.
Not so much.
Sorry, I was Jay Maskus.
Okay.
I'm thinking of another post-grunge. Anyway, Jay Maskus. I don't know what Stephen Malkmus's hair looks like.
I can't. I have no reference besides Dinosaur. Just say Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. He had some solo albums.
It's not as funny as the word Jicks, though.
It sure isn't.
Okay. So
sure isn't.
When I go to the barber shop, it gives me a feeling of accomplishment.
Sure.
It makes me feel as though I have connected with other residents of my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like a member of a community.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel like I've done something to take care of myself in the same way that people talk about going to get a mani-pedi or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's I have to go pretty regularly because my hair is very short. So it's like an every other week type situation. I park my car. I drop my kid off at school. I park my car at the barbershop.
What are you dropping on one of these cuts?
You're looking at like $17 plus tip or something.
Oh,
I'm giving them 20 bucks.
Yeah, that's
great. You know, I'm giving them 20, 21 bucks.
So cheap.
Yeah.
So
cheap to be a dude.
But you don't have to get a haircut every 2 weeks, do you?
No, not every two, but like probably every 4 or 5.
It's possible now. As I understand it, it's possible to spend like $7,000 on a lady's haircut.
That's true.
Like a going rate would be like like 65 or something like that. But then depending on where you live in the country, but then you can always just walk in someplace where it's $7,000.
Yeah. I mean, literally, because my hair is short, I only pay 70 at the place that I have my hair cut. But yeah, it's not 17.
So I have this short hair, but I try and have a haircut, right? I try and get this. It's longer on the top than it is on the sides, and they clean up the front so they don't get weird. When your hair gets thin, the front starts poking all over everywhere, you start looking like a hair cactus. And they'll clean that up a little bit, you know, and they give it some shape in the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it looks like intentional. That's my goal, is intentionality.
Sure.
But I needed a haircut before I went to my cabin for 8 days. So now we're on like week 4 of my every 2 week haircut. And the intentionality drains out of it very quickly.
Yeah, sure.
To the point where now it just looks like I've never seen a professional, a hair care professional.
I don't think that's true.
Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan to hit the old barbershop? The old
I don't
BS?
Know. I have three children. I can't remember when I get a haircut.
I don't have kids. I haven't been a kid for a while. Certainly never haven't talked to one recently.
Some people say you've got the spirit of a grown-up kid.
That's true.
Sexually.
Yeah, sexually, because in all my lovemaking, I involve Go-Gurt. Get ready for the Go-Gurt, I'll say. Anyways, I
can only engage in lovemaking if there's a Ferrari Testarossa poster.
Oh, sure, yeah. Right, in a race, you have to be in a race car bed.
Yeah.
What was I talking? Oh, yeah. So I think, if I know kids, and I don't.
Yeah.
They love to wait quietly in a barbershop while their dad's getting a haircut. They can read maybe
Playboy.
Playboy.
It's the primary magazine.
Kids love Playboy.
Barbershops, I think, are sustaining the entire print softcore pornography industry.
Sure.
Like, barbershops have Playboy?
They have – oh, yeah. That's like the main thing they have.
I did not know that.
I mean, they also have Sports Illustrated. But it's basically just Playboy and Sports Illustrated. There's not –
that's amazing.
You can't, like, you can't get – you know – like, I went in there. I said, do you have Elle Decor? And they said, no, it's just Playboy.
Sure.
Well, sports. And they're
check out her Elle Decors, am I right?
We got a couple ESPN the magazines.
Va, boom.
Yeah. Ladies' haircutting places tend to have – they'll have your People magazine and your In Style, stuff like that. And then they'll have an actual just magazine that's just haircuts.
Oh, yeah.
They'll have a
pictures of haircuts.
Just pictures of haircuts.
Well, we just have a poster of that. There's a poster on the wall that lists the 12
haircuts
available.
Give me the third man, you'll say.
Yeah.
That third
man. You just
man.
Point?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Like, that's the Orson Welles, by the way, when you say give me the third man. That was funny. Someone should have responded to that anyway.
Sure. I'll respond with a little zither playing.
Thank you. A lot of zither in that movie. Beautiful.
Probably the best zither movie.
Yeah.
Would you say that's the best? You're the host of a pop culture podcast, the Pop Culture Happy Hour from National Public Radio. Would you say that The Third Man is the best zither movie?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I think
when you're talking about zither soundtracks, it's either The Third Man or Sylvester Stallone's Over the Top.
Yeah. In where I live and most of the neighborhoods I've lived in my life, there is usually the poster, which was drawn up in 1954 and just features 12 different beaver cleavers.
Sure.
And then there are one-hour Photoshop.
That's also a magazine that they have. Beaver Cleaver. We got a Playboy. We got a Perfect 10. Or you can read Beaver Cleaver.
They'll also have photographs of Latino 17-year-olds with the same haircuts. Mm-hmm. But just so you can imagine it, if your imagination does not extend to altering the race of Beaver Cleaver, you can see how it would look with a very slightly different skin tone.
Sure.
Those are the two things that are on the walls.
Gotcha.
There's no magazines. There's no there might be some Dodgers bobbleheads.
Do they bring you tea? Where I get my haircut, they'll bring you some tea.
You get a little tea.
There are these kind of barbershops. I would imagine, Jordan, you've probably been to one of these kind of barbershops in your perambulations of late.
Sure.
Through Northeast Los Angeles, where they will give you hard liquor.
Yeah, I had a little dalliance with that sort of place that really had a moment,
four years ago.
Man's man, reclaimed wood.
This is when y'all were going to shave with the brush and the soap.
Yeah, that's when we were going to do that. Uh-huh. We're going to keep this up forever. This will never become tiresome. This is the best way to do this. It's not.
But please watch my video about it at putthison.com.
So there was that had a real moment. And, a guy with an armband and a lot of sailor tattoos would give you the old shave and a haircut. You get a
two bits.
Yeah. Well,
What do you want me to do? You say shave and a haircut. If I sit here and I don't say anything, then I'm going to explode.
Right.
You got to say two bits.
You're going to drive Roger Rabbit crazy.
What do you want from me? Yeah. Go ahead. I said two bits.
Thank
now you.
No, and the audience thanks you. There's many people thanking you for saying two bits. But yes, as far as the that was a big problem with these kinds of places is amount of bits.
Yeah,
it really mm-hmm. and you know I have a kind of a formless kind of hair. I don't know what you would call it. Just kind of a hair thing.
Probably have to find a barber because not all hairstylists or hair cutters are comfortable cutting curly hair.
Sure, right. You have to go to a place where that is something that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like again, if you're a hair person, maybe you notice the difference, but I feel like I was going in for these man's man, Ron Swanson, have a shot of whiskey and then mm-hmm. play a little skee ball before you leave places.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I was not noticing a lot of difference between those and a kind of super cut.
Right, exactly. Okay. A super type of
But
I thought you were going to a different sitcom character theme barbershop, like a Lenny and Squiggy barbershop.
No, he's talking about when you get a really great clip.
Got it.
Real, just a great clip.
Just a great,
Jordan, just a great
you're
clip.
One of the most fantastic Sams.
Thank
I
you.
Know.
Yes, exactly. But I mean, easy to goof on that experience because mm-hmm. it was, you know, kind of crazy and of a time. But it felt great, like getting the straight razor shave and getting the getting pampered, having the the beer or the the craft soda or whatever it was they poured. It was a fun experience.
They give you a craft soda?
Sometimes you have a craft soda. Yeah, I think they have a non-alcohol.
There.
You get a,
Do they have craft Playboys?
Yes, exactly. An artisanal hand-carved Playboy. So I was like, this is fun. I like this. I don't know that my hair looks better. I'm not as living as high on the hog as I have been in the past. Mm-hmm. Things are a little tighter. I'm not drinking LaCroix. I'm drinking Kroger's sparkling water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is definitely.
You're just sucking the grapefruit directly.
Exactly. Yeah. I pour tap water into my mouth. I shirk it around. And then I cut the grapefruit or pamplemousse. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Squeeze
you
it in there.
Grind your teeth. Shake it. The
peel. Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. So definitely, definitely the fancy boy haircut is not something that I do these days. I go to the old supercut, drop a 20. They do a great job.
I freely admit, the lady haircut experience that I tend to go for, you go in. They give you, like I said, they'll give you a cup of tea. At the really nice ones, they'll give you a glass of wine.
That's nice.
To make sure that you won't be upset no matter what they do to your hair. And then you go back and they wash your hair and it's this very they shampoo your hair and they give you a little scalp massage and then usually they put some kind of leave-in thing in your hair and you sit there for a while and then they go and they cut it, but it's all very comfort and pampering oriented.
Sure.
When I really go in for the full scam, when I just really buy in for the whole scam is if I go to an actual spa day and
sure.
I get a massage, which, probably will mostly the next day it's very likely I'll have bruises. Uh-huh. And honestly, if I don't have any bruises, I'm like, well, what was a bad spa day.
You should stop going to bear spas, by the way.
Sure.
But then
you're also going to get puncture wounds.
Exactly. But then I'll get a facial and the facial, the whole idea of facial treatments for women, just don't do it, Jordan. But the whole idea...
I wasn't even going to!
The whole deal
is
they'll put something on, and a lot of times they tell you what they're doing. They'll say, this is a thing that will remove two layers of skin cells, uh-huh. and it will restore your vitamin blah, and they tell you stuff that it's doing. And it's all... I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe any of it at all. I go to a place where they tell you that they're blowing on your face with pure oxygen.
Wow!
actually, I have access.
And then they just go.
I have access to that for free.
Yeah.
But they put on stuff that, first they'll put on something that feels kind of warm, and then they'll put on something that feels kind of cool, and then they'll put on a thing that bubbles, and it feels good. And then you go and you get your nails done, and it's a nice thing. It doesn't do anything. I don't kid myself that it does anything. And I personally think if you're going to go in and get all kinds of weird spa treatments, get whatever feels good. And don't tell yourself it does anything.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a happy, happy spa experience. And I feel the same way about getting my hair cut. If anything changed the makeup of your hair, you wouldn't have to keep having it done mm-hmm. all the time. So clearly nothing changes the makeup of your hair, but you just go, you have a lovely day, you know, and then you get a haircut with intentionality.
The thing that is missing, pampering-wise, from my haircut mm-hmm. experience, and it's something that they did sometimes offer at those sleeve garter barbershops.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I've waxed rhapsodic on Jordan Jesse Go in the past about my old barber, Jerry. Jerry and I had a very intimate relationship. He called me babe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was an elderly Angelino and had a barbershop that he had started working at when he was 13 in like 1954.
Sure.
Jerry retired some years ago, about 5 years ago maybe. And it was very, very sad for me to see Jerry go. But the special thing that Jerry had that they would sometimes have at these fancy barbershops, mm-hmm. these fancy newfangled old-timey mm-hmm. barbershops, is steel massagers that strap onto your hands and turn your hands into massaging robots.
Wow.
Like, it's like this. They had them on Mad Men one time. Mm. I said, oh, yeah, there's those things that Jerry has. But they look like they clearly had been designed in 1948 and not updated since.
Right. Made their debut at the World's Fair.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they had one of those, like, big fabric-covered electrical cords with plug at the end.
Sure.
Like a... like
an
a
old
dangerous,
vacuum.
Yeah, I was going to say a dangerous toaster, but mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. like or an old vacuum. And the strap that goes around the hand, so they go on the back of your hand, and they're about the size of, I don't know, four packs of cards stacked on top of each other.
Okay.
And then do they just go, and he basically just has to put his hands on your shoulders, and you're like, ooh, relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get that from my new barbershop.
Sure.
And I would love to get that.
Did you just lean on the dryer?
I was going to say, if you took a couple of electric toothbrushes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they'd do it?
Make like little Wolverine claws out of 10 electric toothbrushes.
Yeah.
Tape them to a...
Can I tell you something?
Sorry, I know Wolverine has only six claws. I apologize. Two bits.
There's someone in my family who actually might be able to provide that.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday when we were coming home from my cabin, it's like a 4-hour drive. So mm-hmm. usually the kids will watch videos on their Amazon brand Kindle
sure.
viewing devices.
Mm-hmm.
But there was only one. My 6-year-old and my 4-year-old, my about to be 7-year-old and my 4-year-old had to share one. And Grace, my older child, she said, Teresa explained to her that she would have to share her Kindle with her little brother. And she said, oh, that's okay, Mommy. I'll even let him choose what he wants to watch. And Teresa said, oh, that's so sweet of you, Gracie. You're such a wonderful older sibling. And Grace said, is that because I'm helpful to my siblings or because I build enormous robotic machinery?
Mm.
What? Love
yeah.
it. Love
enormous,
it.
Enormous, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, so... And if she could adjust herself to about the size of four packs of cards stacked on top of each other, possible solution to that situation. But yeah, like I think in the men's – do you get talc applied or is your hair too long to have talc applied?
No, I don't have talc applied. I think that might be an extra.
They'll never let you become
English
judge.
Listen, yeah, I know. That's my dream, to be a barrister. Is that a lawyer? Anyway.
The talc...
a bobby. There you go.
The application of the talc is... that's the coup de grace of the entire... that's how they finish you off. They you know, because they're getting down to a... they're getting down to a straight blade.
Yeah.
You know, down... cleaning up the neck, you mm-hmm. know, so on and so forth. Slap a little stuff on there. You're like, ooh, that's a little stingy. Feels good. I'm
mm-hmm.
invigorated.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take their big brush and they brush it in the talc. And then they go...
oh, wow.
On your head. Like they were feather dusting your head.
I clearly don't. I don't know anything about barbershop experiences.
And then after that, they have you put your feet in a bucket that's full of tiny fish. And they eat all the dead skin off of your. Yeah.
I do know somebody who did that.
Yeah.
Did the
fish thing?
Feet fish?
Yeah.
What did this person report?
That it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those fish nasty. nasty.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
So you want to understand what's going on in the world.
But trying to keep up with the news can be such a headache.
With clickbait headlines, TV news acting like there's always two equal sides to every story.
And never enough talk about the various McDonald Playland characters.
Okay, in my defense, though, when I brought that up, we learned a lot.
That's true.
I'm Brent Black.
I'm Courtney Unlow.
And I'm Travis McElroy.
With Trends Like These.
Real-life friends talking internet trends.
We debunk misleading headlines from the top trending news.
We always throw in at least one positive story.
But we call out bullshit when we see it.
Join us each week on MaximumFun.org.
Because with trends like these...
Who needs any memes?
Ah? Ah?
Yeah, that was great.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Linda Holmes, terrible lizard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's ready.
Right.
She's in there.
In the,
almost too
in
early.
The original Latin, terrible mm-hmm. lizard.
Mm-hmm. Linda, you're in Los Angeles, as usual, for the Television Critics Association.
Press tour, yep.
Press tour, the TCA, mm-hmm. which is a six-month bacchanal.
Yeah. You may know it as a hashtag you've muted.
Yeah. Yes, sure. TV critic Twitter does really, really go off.
And this is something where the television industry gets all of the critics in television, mm-hmm. internet critics, newspaper critics, mm-hmm. television critics, mm-hmm. and gets them all in one room. So they can report on the latest Sports Night developments. Is that correct?
You've been reading my Twitter.
Yeah. Where is it streaming now? Is it coming back? Still no. Okay.
I will say the longer it goes on, and they bring us press conferences about all different shows that are coming and sometimes returning shows. And the longer it drags on, the more we lose our minds and the more we do wander into random observations, such as, yeah, Sports Night, brought up by Peter Krause, though. So that was his own.
Wait, was there a Sports Night development?
Krause was on the panel for 911.
This show is supposed to be – this is like a procedural that's completely insane, right?
Yes.
But with Peter Krause.
Yes. The Fox show, totally nutsy. And he was asked about, like – you know, when you know that shows are going to be successful or not. And he said, well, you know, it's sort of a big crapshoot. You never really know. I thought Sports Night would last a really long time and it didn't. And he mentioned like it was kind of a casualty of the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire 5 nights a week experiment.
Fucking Regis.
Those of us who really loved Sports Night were immediately like, oh, my God, now I'm angrier than ever. And so there are certain shows. Sports Night is one. There are others where among TV critics or TV fans in general, you will always find that subgroup of people who are happy to leap into action at the slightest provocation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess now that there has been a Gilmore Girls continuation, mm-hmm. New part thing. Mm-hmm. What is it? Have a special name? I was going to say reboot, but that's when you start from the beginning.
It was like a sequel.
Yeah. Then now that there's been a new Gilmore Girls thing, like what's left for television critics to talk about besides Sports Night?
Well, it's true, and there are things that you know for a while. That people will keep their teeth in. You also have the issue of people like tweeting at you once they know that you're at press tour. Like there was somebody who a couple days before the Fox sessions tweeted me and said, do you know when the Fox sessions start on the day they're happening? And the account was Prison Break. And I was
sure.
And it was a Prison Break fan account. And I didn't answer, I must admit, because I didn't know when things were.
A Prison Break fan account.
And then on the Prison Break day, on the Fox day, there were, you know, we were I was receiving a couple tweets. Can you ask about Prison Break? Can you ask? Do you think they're going to talk about Prison Break?
And probably not.
I understand. And you know, those are tuned in people who know that the Fox executives are currently right up there in front of critics. Hey, and somebody could theoretically.
Can you mention Carolyn in the City?
Dude,
can you? Mention
you would be surprised,
Carolyn
though.
In the city?
It's me, a typical entertainment consumer. I can't get enough Herman's Head.
The problem is now that they have done things like bring Roseanne back and stuff like that, every time they do something like that, it just encourages everybody. So you can no longer say to people that they're not going to do that. That sounds stupid because they brought back Full House.
Yeah. Right.
So you can no longer convince people that anything is impossible. Although I will say the most convincing response to that that I have seen on Twitter is people saying, okay, reboot any black show.
Because that
would be welcome and has not really happened in the same way. But yeah, it's very hard to convince any fan.
Weren't they talking about a Martin one for a little bit?
Yes, I think they were. I've not heard anything about it in a while. I do think there was an idea.
Yeah, may have had to do with the fact that Martin Lawrence was reportedly an abusive monster.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No idea.
I did not know that about
Martin. No idea. I have not heard anything.
Good riddance.
But anyway, so it's hard to convince people that anything's impossible. So you do get a lot of those sort of, you know.
That would be a fun, like, flash mob style prank of just getting as many Twitter people as possible behind the most middle of the road thing. I mean, what's more in the middle than, I mean, the single guy.
Jonathan
Silverman's the single guy.
Yeah.
And just, you know, trying to drum up false support for that and seeing if you could get Crackle to bite or something like that.
It's weird. Like, you think that you've actually seen all the things that they would do, and then they're like, we're bringing back Murphy Brown. And okay. I loved Murphy Brown. I don't know if
I really do. Murphy Brown was a real, like, Jordan and Jordan's mom tradition.
I really loved Murphy Brown.
Maybe, like, my sister's in bed, but Jordan and Jordan's mom are going to stay up for Murphy Brown.
Yeah, who's the secretary this week?
I don't know.
Asks Jordan's mom to Jordan.
I know. Hopefully, it's a famous stunt casting.
Jordan says to his mom, I don't know, Mom, but I love you.
I love you. I'm just proud to be spending time with you and watching something that I understand is for grown-ups. And it makes me feel good, even if I don't understand Boutros Ghali jokes. I guess that was also something I didn't understand about Letterman, but I still liked Letterman a lot.
Yeah,
so I'm like, I know that this is a grown-up thing.
It would be interesting to know who over time was enjoyed more saying Boutros Ghali, whether it was Murphy Brown or David Letterman. I think it was Letterman, probably.
Yeah, they were neck and neck.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I think
And that Dan Quayle shouldn't have fired off his mouth about her.
Yeah.
No.
Thought me and my mom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys were on the cutting edge.
We were sure.
Yeah.
You guys were right there on the forefront of the culture wars.
Shouldn't be talking about Murphy Brown like he knows her. He doesn't.
He doesn't.
He can't even spell potato, this guy. Remember that?
In conclusion, Galooly.
Galooly, finally. Jeff Galooly.
Oh, boy.
But anyway. What's crazy about this thing to me is not that you're going to all of these press conferences.
Yeah.
That all seems normal. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of critics and reporters.
Yeah.
It's your job to go to press conferences and whatever.
Sure.
It's a professional thing, whatever. What's crazy to me is that it goes on for like 2 weeks and you just set up camp in a hotel and receive announcements.
Well, so it actually goes on for roughly between 2.5 and 3 weeks.
Wow.
Are you sure you were going to scold me because it's actually 8 days?
No. It goes on between 2.5 and 3 weeks. And I came a few days into it this year. I came a little bit later so that I would only be gone for like a little bit under 2 weeks. Because I don't know if you've heard this, but I have a dog now.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to go away for quite as long as I sometimes have. But yeah, I've sometimes been away for essentially 3 weeks. Yeah.
Your dog is at dog camp now, you're telling
me. Yeah, my dog's at dog camp. Yep.
Sounds like
he's
a lot of
fun. He's out there playing. I wrote them an email and asked them how he was doing. And they assured me that he was doing well and is making lots of friends. And told me in all caps that he's having the time of his life.
He really enjoyed archery.
Yep, he's making me an ashtray, which is weird in a few ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's doing great. So that shortened the trip a little bit.
I put my dog in a canoe recently.
Mm. Oh, how was that?
It was more of a rowboat or dinghy. Mm-hmm. But I put him in there up on the lake by my cabin. And when I say him, I mean her. And she did not like it at all.
Oh, yeah.
We took a little romantic paddle around the lake.
Right.
And the whole time she was standing alert, like, what the fuck is this floor? Mm-hmm. This is not a regular floor.
Yeah.
It just hated it.
I'm about to be in a giant bath.
Yeah.
Considering how my dog responds to rain or any other change in conditions of any kind, I'm not sure he would go in for that. He does not like anytime conditions change, he's not sure how he feels about it.
My dog, my older dog, Coco, spent the first year-ish, maybe even more, that she lived with us terrified of wind. And I'm not talking about wind shaking the windows or something like that. I'm just talking about if you were just walking her down the street and there was a gentle gust of wind.
Yeah. He doesn't like wind. He doesn't like wind either. He gets I usually walk him around a particular block in the morning and in the evening, just, you know, a short walk. And he...
We won't say what block it is, but...
We won't say what block it is, but...
Linda's based in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And we'll just say it's a block of Pennsylvania Avenue.
So there are two, like when you go in, you know, two of the sides of the block are in like the wind tunnel part. So on those two sides, he just does not like it at all if it's windy. He's freaking out the whole time, especially if the wind's in his face. He's not into that at all. He's just sort of making faces. And
Jordan, what's Bug afraid of?
Well, Bug, my cat, met some kids for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Bug met Nick Adams's kids.
Oh, Nick Adams has some of the most beautiful children on earth.
Amazing children.
Yeah. Well-mannered.
Yeah. So here's what's going on. And Nick Adams and I live really close to each other. We live like less than a mile away from each other. And something that is going on
in Los Angeles, that's neighbors.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
We're basically roommates. In our neighborhood, it's hot in L.A. You listen to podcasts, right? You've heard that.
Mm-hmm. I got to go to the Grove and cool down.
Got to cool down at the Grove. There's no place cooler than a Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
You got to get it because the cheesecakes have to be cool.
It's like in Andre 3000's song, what's cooler than cool? The Cheesecake Factory.
Right, exactly.
Got to keep the cakes from running.
Yeah. People probably don't know that that's not in the radio edit of the song, but that's on the album version. On the album version. So you know, it's hot in L.A. People are running their airs. And our neighborhood is a lot of, like, older houses. So just the power goes out 4 times a week. It just does, and for a weird amount of time. So I think Nick and his family are on vacation. Don't rob their house. So Nick's like, I need to bring you over my keys. So while we're gone, if the power goes out for a long time, you need to go clean out our fridge. And I was happy to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I like it's nice to be asked.
My cabin neighbors, Jerry and Debbie, took care of that for me last summer.
Oh, yeah?
God bless them.
Well, and also, quite frankly, even if the power doesn't go out, you can just go over and take all their food and then tell them.
I'm like, the power went out. But,
You're like, I cleaned out.
I ate all the ice cream.
Cleaned out of steaks and ice cream. Power went out. Too bad.
Power went out, but it didn't affect the broccoli.
Sure, yeah. The power went out, and the joke I was about to make was someone. Ordered a lot of pay-per-view porn. Does that still exist? It probably does not. Of all the industries.
Yeah, I really am into artisanal pornography myself.
Right,
so.
Yeah, sure. Hand-carved. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Who wants to look at pornography in public under any circumstances? That's my question for America's barbershops.
Right. Although
that's a good game show idea.
Who wants to look at pornography in a public place?
5 nights a week on ABC.
Killing Sports Night. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Nick's bringing the keys over.
Yeah.
He's got the kids with him. And the kids, they cannot have pets at their apartment.
Yeah.
But the kids love cats. There's a lot of nice outdoor kitties in our area. I think the kids have had a very good experience with the outdoor kitties. So they were very excited. They've seen pictures of my cat and mm-hmm. they were excited to meet her.
In the calendar that you gave them for Christmas?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I gave it to everyone, including everyone at my bank.
Got it.
So they were excited to meet the cat IRL. And I was kind of hopeful because Bug is a very nice cat. And I think she even kind of wins over people who do not like cats because she's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was really hoping she would come out to shine and yeah, and really turn on some of that patented Bug magic.
Mm-hmm.
She did not. The kids were very loud and grabbed her fur and she ran away and hissed.
Oh.
It was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think they were very excited and, you know, I think they're very good kids. They were not being mean to her. They were not manhandling her in any way, but I think it was just pure. Listen, Bug and I lead a very quiet life.
Yeah.
We lead a very quiet life. Sometimes I'll turn on Mastodon when I'm doing the dishes.
Sure.
That's about as exciting as it gets
right.
around the house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think just
you're
that...
not listening to Sun.
No, sure. I like melodies.
Yeah, it's melodic.
I love melodies.
No drones necessary.
No drones. So, yeah, I think Bug was just not used to that volume, that kind of just child... that child velocity, mm-hmm. and ran away and hissed, and I was felt bad.
Do you think Bug knew how lovely looking Nick's children are? How they look like catalog models?
No, I don't. I don't. I think she was just.
She could have just been intimidated by them. Is what
sure,
I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. Could be.
Not that Nick's not handsome, or that you're not a good looking guy.
Sure. Well, you know. Sure. Yeah. She's just not used to attractive humans.
What's this?
Yeah, my dog, Brian, is afraid of one other dog and
oh.
in the entire world hates and is terrified of.
Where does he encounter this one dog?
At my apartment building.
Oh, no. He has a dog enemy.
He lives in the building. Dog enemy lives in the building. And the dog's owner has been so incredibly nice. I went up to her and I was like, obviously at a time when the dog was not with me, I went up to her and I was like, I am so sorry. I don't know why he's doing this. And she was like, they're dogs. They do dog things. My dog has dogs that she doesn't like. So it's, you know, we just can't turn around and go the other way when we see any of the dogs she doesn't get along with. She could not have been nicer. But every time he sees them, my dog just goes into a complete panic, like, rah, 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 just absolutely the height of his terrifyingness, and I have no idea why. No, not a clue.
Interesting.
This
it's
is
just
the one.
What kind of dog is it?
It's just like a very nice black dog with kind of a wiry coat.
Interesting.
And he plays with all kinds of different dogs, big dogs, small dogs, you know, of all different
breeds. He's having a good time at dog camp.
He's having a great time at dog camp. They told me at daycare that he plays with, gets along with all the other dogs. He is a weirdo about this one dog, and I feel very bad.
Just once, I'd like to drop my dog off at dog daycare. My dogs don't go that often, but I like to drop them off and come back later and pick them up. And they say, bad news. They made a lot of enemies.
Yeah, they give me, at the daycare he goes to, they give me a little report card each day.
That's cute.
Hopefully with a photo of him.
F, F, F.
Hopefully with a photo of him. And then they'll just say, like, they'll tell me, like, here are the dogs he played with today. Here were his friends today. But then they'll give like a little description of his behavior, which I'm pretty sure everybody gets the same one on that day, because it'll be like, it was raining outside, but Brian was in a great mood. He had, you know, he had all his friends and his fur buddies and all this other stuff. And I always feel like probably they're all getting the same one. But then they give you a couple of new adjectives per day to describe. And those change from day to day. So.
My dogs have, between the two of them, have had one friend ever, and particularly my older dog, Coco, who's now, I guess she's 11 or 12. She, when we lived in Koreatown, there was this couple who had a dog that was like a fancy breeding dog.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Like with papers and
sure.
and like a little haircut and the whole nine
sure.
yards.
Sure.
It was like one of these kind of floofy tail hunting dogs or something,
okay.
like a spaniel dog or something.
Okay.
I don't know. And but this dog and Coco, my dog, I only had one at the time,
they would see each other. And you know how dogs do that thing? I don't know if you've seen this, Jordan, walking past a dog park or something. But when dogs want to play with each other, they signal it by like putting their paws out front and then dropping their head and being like – and getting into like a pounce position.
It's a play bow, they call it.
A play bow.
And they would do that with each other in the hallways of our apartment building constantly. And because our dog didn't like any other dogs as far as we could tell, we would kind of get them together. And it became very uncomfortable because this couple that was the owners of this dog, they would come over with the dog or they would just – like we eventually got to the point where they'd drop off the dog like it was a play date.
Sure.
But like they would come over and they would tell us some things, and they had recently moved to Los Angeles from the Midwest, kind of a late 20s white couple. And just a couple of times they would just say something about Korean people. We lived in Koreatown.
Oh, goodness.
And it wouldn't be specifically or aggressively racist. It would just be too general about an ethnic group.
And I thought you were going to say that eventually you got the impression that they had all changed their names, including the dog's names, and were on the run from something. Yeah.
No, it was really –
didn't answer to the name that they called it.
I was honestly like, while I was sad when they moved away – you know, a year later, I was grateful that I had been relieved of the pressure of trying to decide what to do because I don't think the dog is racist.
No, I getcha. I getcha.
Like, I don't think I have to. And there wasn't – it was a very, very unpleasant situation for me, except that I assumed my dog would make many dog friends. Yeah. This was 8 or 10 years ago now, and she has not made one dog friend since.
My dog gets along with most of the dogs in my building. He has a little – the funny thing is my dog is named Brian. That's the name he came with. He has a friend named Kevin.
You're allowed to pick a new one.
I know. Okay. I know.
Brian is a great dog.
You're a huge Family Guy fan.
Yeah. I am not, I will tell you.
You have two goldfish, both named Stewie.
Yeah.
He has a friend named Kevin. He has a friend named Carl. And he has a friend named Charlie. And when they're all –
they go down to the bar every night.
Well, or I used to say – like when it was Brian and Kevin and Carl, I used to say it's like it's a – like 1996 Little League team. but they all get along pretty well. Big dogs, small dogs. He's got a friend named Max who's a fluffy cockapoo. And they play nicely together. They have a nicely matched energy. You have to watch, like, there are some dogs who really want to play with Brian, but Brian's mostly Whippet. And so he has a ton of energy. He's extremely fast. And many dogs look at him and they're just like,
Can't hang.
You're too fast.
There's nothing I can do with this. I can't do anything with this.
It's like if Chris Mullen came up to you, Jordan, and he asked you if you wanted to shoot trays with him.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
No. Too fast.
Too
can't
fast.
Hang.
Too much.
Too
can't
sleek.
Hang. Can't hang. Yeah. But he's a nice dog.
How are you dealing with the emotional impact of not being with your dog, Lo, these past – how long have you been here? 10, 12 days?
Only about a week. Okay. A little over a week. I think it's
I think it's fair to say you're bonded to your dog.
I am bonded. It's easier because I'm not at my apartment, so I'm not looking at, like, the place where he lies on the couch and all that stuff and thinking, like, there's no dog where a dog should be. But, yeah, I mean, I miss the dog. It's funny how quickly you change your routine and you're just used to different things. There are things that I like about not having a dog that I'm responsible for, I will say. When I got the dog, I knew it would be a lot of responsibility, but I sort of miscalculated which would be the things that I would have to get used to. Like, you're kind of done with the part where you're like, it's 7 o'clock at night. I'm just going to get in my jammies and get in bed and I'm not going outside anymore. Because you're going to have to take the dog out one more time. So you can't really, like, settle in super early the way I used to on, like, settling in early nights. Same thing with sleeping in. But it's been great, and I'll be happy to see him, and I'm also trying to enjoy my being able to do whatever I want days.
Did you anticipate the amount of cooking that you would have to do for your dog? Like, let's say he demands a fricassee.
I do not cook for the dog. I give him a little bit of cheese and hot dog and other things that he likes.
That's the dog high life.
Yeah. The other day, I actually gave him some hot dog, and I think I gave him such a sizable piece of hot dog. It was probably during the pre-camp guilt phase. I think I gave him such a sizable piece of hot dog that he wasn't sure what to do with it. He wasn't sure it was really his to eat.
Mm. Wow. That is a conscientious dog. My dog eats really wood, she finds.
Oh, he eats all kinds of things he's not supposed to have.
Okay.
He's more of a chewer than an eater of things he shouldn't have. But he will essentially turn up his nose at a toy that is his and go get something that is not his that is basically exactly the same texture. He just wants it because he's not supposed to have it.
Right.
He knows he is not allowed to eat my shoes. He loves shoes. Shoes are the only thing that he needs to be happy. If I gave him all my shoes, he would never need anything else from me except maybe a little bit of food and water.
By far the best thing that happened when I took a week's vacation at the cabin. By the way, thank you, Jordan, for covering in my absence.
We had a great time.
That's what I hear. I hear there was some discussion of malt liquor beverages.
Mm-hmm.
I observed. Now, granted, there are a lot of nice things happen. I was, mm-hmm. there, of course, there with my human children. Mm-hmm. And my in-laws came to visit. They're wonderful people. A lot of highlights. But probably the top highlight was when I took my dog Coco out to go to the bathroom. She made a beeline for the edge of the road, picked up a long, thin stick, and had it sticking into her mouth along the side of her teeth, but sticking out a little bit at the end. So she looked like she was like Clint Eastwood smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really
yeah.
good.
Brian picked up a very large stick at one point and started just carrying it down the street of my neighborhood. And it had a real, like, I took a video of him and realized that it really needed staying alive playing while he was going down. Because they have the really skinny dogs, you can really see like the ribs and the hips
yeah.
kind of going back and forth. And as somebody told me, he looked like an articulated bus.
That's really
but
good.
Yeah, but I needed to be playing the music.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Linda Holmes, terrible lizard.
We have some sponsors on this week's program, Jordan. Don't let anybody tell you that nobody cares to support this program.
Yeah.
First of all, there's the thousands of Max Fund members who go to MaximumFund.org/donate.
Yeah, those guys are great.
And there's also, well, this week, our friends at Stitch Fix.
Yeah, when a problem comes along, you must stitch it.
Stitch it!
Yeah. Oh, great.
I'm riding one of those scooters right now. Cool. Those red scooters?
I don't know what you're talking about, but...
Yeah, like the Devo rides those little red scooters.
Huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I forget the scooters.
Yeah, it's one of the best parts.
Okay.
I mean,
I believe you.
The hats are good too.
The hats are good. The whips.
The music is enjoyable.
The music.
Yeah.
I believe you that they're scooters, and
yeah.
I think that was a great addition to our popular Stitch Fix jingle that
yeah.
people can't stop talking about.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Yep, vroom, vroom.
Jordan, you got the Stitch Fix.
I love the Stitch Fix. Here's what it is. It is a style box that comes to your house. A personal stylist collects items that they think you will like based on a profile that you create.
Like if you were a squirrel, they might collect acorns for you.
Well, you don't eat the clothes.
Okay.
Maybe in the winter. I don't know.
Got it.
But so, you know, that's not a perfect analogy.
If you were a parrot,
yeah.
they might collect plumage for you.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Like colorful plumage.
A perfect analogy.
Yeah.
A perfect analogy.
Thank you.
Here's what you do. You make a profile. They send you five brand new clothing items. You try them on, and you only pay for what you keep. Shipping is free both ways. Super easy. Super fun. Get your fix whenever you want, or you sign up to receive scheduled shipments.
Is there anything you've gotten from them that you've enjoyed lately?
Gray pants.
Oh, yeah.
They're great.
Surprisingly versatile.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like jeans, but a little different.
Yeah, and you can build any kind of outfit around a gray pant.
Love a gray pant. I've got some very nice gray pants from Stitch Fix.
Yeah, whether you're a person looking for cool style, a parrot, or a squirrel. Hurry to stitchfix.com/JJGo to get started now. Keep all five items you receive and you'll get 25% off your entire purchase. That's stitchfix.com/JJGo. Now, we are also supported this week by our friends at ZipRecruiter.
Yes, ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. That place... ZipRecruiter.
I'm a business owner, Jordan.
Yeah, I know.
I own this very business.
The one that we're doing business in right now.
It's no coincidence that we're in a business right now because I'm the owner of this business.
Sure.
That's why I still get to be on the air.
Here's what ZipRecruiter does. It sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards.
I don't know how to recruit people for my business. I don't know how to get it on all the things. I'm like, I don't know. What do I do? Would I put it on a website? What do I do? Type it into the newspaper? So with ZipRecruiter, you do it once. Boom, 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 boom. They spray it all over everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Your listings. It's,
like
it's everywhere. Sure. But instead of stink, it's jobs.
Job opportunities.
Job opportunities, rather.
Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. We also have something up on the Jumbotron this week. That's our service for listeners to share their projects and personal messages. Bohemian Rhapsody in August is a fictional, non-fictional deep dive music analysis podcast in its eighth daily episode at the time of this reading. Each day in August, hosts Matt and Tucker break down the song Bohemian Rhapsody two lines at a time using research that is as exhaustive as it is fabricated. Absurd surrealism and surreal absurdity mixed with an idea that seemed good at the time based on a bad portmanteau, Bohemian Rhapsody in August. Find it in iTunes, Spotify, and other things probably also. You can find it at Braugest.net. That's Bohemian Rhapsody August, Braugest.net. If you want to get up on the Jumbotron, you can. You can do it at MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, and you can drop us an email. You can find the email link if you'd like to advertise on Jordan, Jesse, Go. Jordan, I will also be making a public appearance this coming week.
Let's hear about that.
Well, Jordan, as you know, I'm the proprietor of the Put This On shop.
Yep.
In fact, Linda, I believe you have shopped at the Put This On shop, have you not?
I have indeed. Mm-hmm.
It is a collection of bullshit that I sell.
It's very nice.
Thank you,
it's
Linda.
Very nice. If you like your... If you like your vintage and you like your kind of like slightly quirky, mm-hmm. which I do. Mm-hmm.
Distinctive, we might say.
Yeah, exactly. Then I would say Put This On, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So we are anybody can shop at putthisonshop.com, but we're going to be selling in Los Angeles on Saturday. So if anybody lives in L.A., you can stop by. My friend Mike owns a great clothing brand called Runabout Goods. That's based in Eagle Rock, Northeast L.A., and he's having a big sale on Saturday from starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you can find it there in Eagle Rock. It's going to be us. My colleague Dan from Put This On will be there all day, and I'll be by as well. There's going to be, you know, vintage stuff, dollar records, new clothes. I think Mike's going to do like a sample sale on his stuff, which is normally pricey stuff. It's very, very nice quality stuff. I've gone and bought it from him at full price.
Will be there? Will there be any award pins?
There will. Hmm. Well, I mean, there may very well be award pins. There may very well be award cups.
Oh, nice.
We have the supply of award cups that actually I think I might have bought from Mike originally. But like all these like pewter award cups from maybe the 50s, like you would win in a hot rod race. Mm-hmm. Like we had so many of them. They're substantially gone, but I think we've got a few left. So, yeah, stop by Runabout Goods in Eagle Rock on Saturday. That's Saturday, August 11th. And we'll be there and you can come and stop by and say hi and, you know, we'll hook you up. Say you heard about it on Jordan Jesse Go, we'll hook you up. We'll get you all set. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Linda Holmes, terrible lizard.
We were not recording during the break when we hosted a second podcast about how much we like comic actor Mark Evan Jackson. He's handsome. He's got a real presence to him.
Mm-hmm. He's great in a deleted scene from Popstar.
Oh, man!
If you got the Popstar Blu-ray, which I do.
Can I borrow the Popstar Blu-ray so I can watch the deleted scene?
Buy your own, baby!
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're going to want to own Popstar to have in your home to not only... Yeah. Laugh at the hilarious movie Popstar, but also to enjoy the hilarious deleted scene featuring Mark Evan Jackson.
Popstar is crazy genius.
It's so funny.
I was the fact that it...
Imagine laughing at a movie.
The fact that it wasn't like more of a box office success.
Yeah,
just
that was a shame.
Makes me so angry because it's so much better than... Oh, so anything.
I know. Yeah, I think it... Anyway.
Does it have a cult following yet?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I haven't heard a lot of pop star fandom.
Mention it on Twitter sometime.
I think it's just me and Jordan, pop star.
Do it. Just say, pop star, ? And everybody will be like, pop star. That absolutely has a cult following.
Is that guy who played the second lead in Pop Star, the like antagonist, the other guy, is that guy a famous person now?
Who are we talking about?
The guy who's like the other musician guy and they're like rivals.
Oh, the guy who was the like Odd Future stand-in?
Yeah.
No, I think he's on SNL.
Oh!
Now, he's funny. He's
good
great
for him,
because
that guy's fucking amazing in that movie. I was like, who's this guy I've never heard of before who's
I forget the actor's name, though. He's hilarious. I've seen him in a couple other things. He's great.
Oh, Popstar.
Popstar rules.
Actually, I'm ready to watch Popstar again. I watched it in the theaters. I'm ready to go again.
Get that Blu-ray. Deleted scenes. Mark it. That's like I got like five songs that aren't in it, and they all fucking rule. It's so good.
Popstar is great.
The Popstar deleted scenes, and I don't say this lightly. Mm-hmm. What I'm about to say is crazy, but it is fucking true.
Yeah.
The pop star deleted scenes are as good as the Waiting for Guffman deleted scenes.
What?
They're as good as this bulging river?
Yeah.
You're telling me.
And the monologue where, oh gosh, what's her name? She's in all the...
Parker Posey.
Parker Posey says, who's on top and who's on bottom now? I'll see you in hell, but I'm going to look good before I get there.
Yeah, I'm one of those cool guys who use Napster to download the promo-only Waiting for Guffman soundtrack.
Oof. Yeah. Get that Popstar Blu-ray, people. High def, as the filmmaker intended. Mm-hmm. Deleted scenes.
Can I tell you something?
All hilarious.
Can I tell you something about... We're about to take some calls here, but can I tell you something about my relationship with Waiting for Guffman?
Hmm.
You know, you wouldn't think that this would be the thing that... I return to again and again in my mind and heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'd think that I would return constantly to like the part where the flames keep poking you, poke, 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 or like one of the other. I would think about when the play is starting and the narrator goes, beans, big, fat, juicy beans. Yeah. I think about that once a week.
It's great.
Big, fat, juicy beans.
I could watch that. Midnight at the Oasis.
Oh God!
No,
number a distressing number of times.
I have to say that when Catherine O'Hara was on Bullseye a few years ago, that was like one of the rare occasions where somebody comes on Bullseye, and I am both like partly intimidated, but also just like scared because. What if something went wrong and it ruined my, like, completely blind devotion to and admiration for Catherine O'Hara? Like, as far as I'm concerned, Catherine O'Hara is a perfect human being.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if anything went wrong, it would all come crashing down.
Right.
And usually I don't feel that way. Usually when I – when even a really, like, person who I really love and admire or whatever, you know – like we just had Randy Newman on Bullseye. I couldn't admire anybody more than Randy Newman, but I felt like Randy Newman, he's just a guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I've interviewed enough people to know everybody's just a guy. Catherine O'Hara, I couldn't get there.
Yeah.
And then she was like better than I hoped. She was like, I was like, can we just be friends?
Yeah. The half of the hotel that I often wind up staying in for TCA
is the Catherine O'Hara wing?
No, but it's the Oasis. One of my friends and I, my buddy Eric Adams, who works for the AV Club, he and I, sometimes when we are walking out of the evening event and I'm heading over to the Oasis, we do a little.
That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
We have a lot of fun here on Jordan Jesse Go and just in our lives. If you think that we only have fun here at Jordan Jesse Go, you're mistaken.
Because
sometimes we're thinking about that part where the narrator of the play within the movie says talks about beans.
Mm-hmm.
When something momentous happens to you, like you think back fondly to a line from a movie that you loved when you were 16.
Oh, yeah.
Then give us a call. 206-984-4FUN is the telephone number. That's 206-984-4FUN. Or you can just voice memo it. and email it to us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. JJGo, of course, it's like a contraction of Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah.
So it's easy to remember.
Now I get it.
MaximumFun.org is a popular website people love to go to for podcasts.
Which you got because MaximumFun.limo was taken.
Yeah.
Is there a dot limo now? I'm sure there's a dot everything.
There is. I ordered MaximumFun.fish.
Yeah. Sure. There are a whole bunch of them. There are a whole bunch.
Let's
see. I made a personal website recently.
JordanMorris.pizza?
JordanMorris.net. Pizza was like a little extra, and I'm like, boy, how funny do I think this is? Do I think this is $5 a month funny? No. I guess I don't.
What if you're applying for a job on a show with dignity?
Sure. I'm being thrifty these days.
You're putting
in your application,
you're submitting your good place packet.
Sure.
You know that those people are thinking about things.
Right.
They don't want your cute bullshit, Jordan.
No, JordanMorris.net. Hit it up. Yeah. A lot of fun.
They're going to say, oh my God, dot pizza. He's going to be that guy.
He's going to be that. This guy thinks he's fun.
To be fair,
Jordan thinks he's fun.
JordanMorris.limo is pretty solid.
JordanMorris.limo. Yeah, but I don't know how much if that would be extra.
It's like that old the thing that Hodgman always repeats about. I get it. You're wacky.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would give you that dot pizza.
I had a wacky point in my life. I'm not wacky anymore.
Oh no, I know you're not.
Thank you.
But the dot pizza might mislead people down that line of I get it. You're wacky.
I'm not wacky,
Jordan. You got dignity.
I'm kooky.
I'm not wacky. I'm spooky and a little ooky.
Sure, yeah.
Let's take our first call.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Jessica in Northern Virginia, and I have a momentous occasion. My husband and I were just hanging out on the couch watching TV, and his brother called and mentioned that
I like where this is going. Ooh, watching television with a spouse. This will certainly get horny. Were they watching the pop star deleted scenes on the pop star Blu-ray?
Do a lot of work with my little noises.
Okay, fair enough. Go ahead and press play.
And his brother called and mentioned that their grandfather had two buttholes. He didn't provide much more information, and I can't stop cracking jokes.
Yeah.
I told you it was going to get good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you were probably right.
I lived right up to that noise
Yeah,
I made.
Yeah, it sure did.
Holy shit.
Wow.
It, like, fucking surpassed that noise you made like a rocket to the stars.
It's true. It's true.
This woman calls in all classy-like.
Yeah.
She's like, I'd just like you to know, we were watching television on the couch when...
Public television.
Press 4 for movie screening time.
My husband and I were just watching television on the couch when...
And then his brother called. Go on. Ooh, a brother. Okay.
Saucy.
Okay. All right. Taboo. The ultimate taboo.
And said that who, the grandfather?
Yeah.
I would say the ultimate taboo is probably two brothers, especially if they were plumbers.
Oh, boy. Wow. Yes. The ultimate taboo would be to be make love with both Mario Brothers at once.
And one
wow, room enough for me? It's me, Wario. Wow.
Throw the cap at
sure.
it.
What about this?
Waluigi is here too.
Hey, it's me. I'm a shell guy. Can I also fuck?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, shell guy.
Yeah, well. Let's scooting around.
Yeah.
You know how they do.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wah. It's me, Mario.
Two buttholes.
Yeah. Anyway, next call.
Wait, where is he doing genealogy research?
Yeah, does 23andMe tell you that?
He's like,
Swab your cheek and we'll tell you how many buttholes your grandpa has.
I was on Skip Gates' PBS show. Found out something very interesting.
What I want to know is, I want to know a couple things.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to know how the brother knew that.
Right.
The brother who called.
Well, there's a lot of questions.
Right.
How had that come to the attention of the brother?
Right.
Well, genealogy is very important in the Mormon church. Sure.
But also, how it came up in the call with the brother. Mm-hmm. Like the whole, my husband and I were watching television and his brother called. You would think
just
that
to
would
say
be,
that?
I was just going to say.
Is there another reason for the call?
Is there another reason for the call?
Are we still doing Disney World this year? Okay, great. Oh, also,
Grandpa
our dad
had two
buttholes.
That's Grandpa, whoever it was. Yeah. I don't understand how
Barnabas.
I don't understand how this topic was raised on the call from the brother.
Hey, bro, what's up? Just watching TV. What you watching? Mm-hmm. Deleted scenes from Popstar. Yeah. Grandpa had two buttholes.
No, I got it. It is, what are you watching on TV? I'm watching an old episode of Two and a Half Men.
Okay, sure.
You know, now that you mention that.
That's, you mentioned Two and a
that
Half.
That reminds me.
And Man. Yeah.
That reminds me.
Oh, yeah.
That show also has two buttholes.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I'm reading the children's literary classic Holes.
Sure.
Yeah. Could happen.
There's a lot of segues. A lot of easy segues.
Oh, there's a lot of fanfic to be written about this call.
Yeah, sure. Especially when Waluigi gets involved. Not in Smash Brothers. It's a fucking damn shame.
Really? Waluigi's not in Smash Brothers?
No. No Waluigi for Smash.
That seems
People are furious.
Couldn't
is
they make
there,
that?
Is there a fan movement? Is there a hashtag?
Yes,
involved?
Absolutely.
Couldn't they make that downloadable content?
They could, but they won't.
Really?
Nintendo doesn't value Waluigi.
Is that so?
Yes.
You know what I'm going to do?
Huh?
You know those green lifesavers?
Mm-hmm.
Television Critics Association meeting.
Right.
I'm going to leave them. I'm going to leave them in the television critics' rooms. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pay the upcharge though, so I'll just break in with
a
credit card.
You're just gonna sneak around and follow the housekeeping. Mm-hmm. Housekeeping.
I mean, I'll wear a black turtleneck.
Right. Sure.
I'll spring for the black turtleneck. Sure. I just don't want to pay the placement fee.
Sure.
Sure. That's fine.
I'll leave him there. Save Waluigi in the new Smash Brothers for Nintendo Switch.
Hashtag Waluigi 4, number 4.
For Smash.
Smash. Yeah. Waluigi 4 Smash.
Mm-hmm.
And that, use that hashtag when you're talking about the show on Twitter, by the way.
Just so you know, Linda, the only problem with using that is that actually was the hashtag I used to petition NBC to add Waluigi to the cast of Smash.
I was trying to get there. Yeah. It's like you have Catherine McPhee.
Right, sure.
You have your Leslie Odom Jr.
Mm-hmm. I thought he would be a perfect Marilyn Monroe.
I think Waluigi, you know, Waluigi's got the glam. Got the glam kisser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, it's, you know, Marilyn Monroe had that very pointy, crinkly mustache.
Sure, yeah.
In real life, so it's perfectly representational.
And also she was an evil version of Luigi. So it's perfect.
I mean, he could also play Wajo DiMaggio.
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's take another call.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Liz and Siri from New West. We're in Whistler right now, and we just got in a car chase. These chicks that we trusted, we left our phone there. And then all of a sudden, we went over there, and we noticed that they were gone in the car, and our phone was all of a sudden not on the dock.
And we thought they were our friends.
So we went chasing after them down this crazy bumpy road, caught up to them, chased them on the highway. They did an illegal right turn. We followed them legal right turn, got a shadow car, so they thought they had lost us. And then they parked in the parking lot. My friend jumped out of the car to retrieve her phone while I went to go park the car.
And I was like, hey, I think do you guys know anything about my phone being lost? And they were like, no. And then one of them was like, whoops, I just found it. It's like my fucking brand new phone.
We opened up the phone. They have selfies on the fucking cell phone.
They fucking stole our phone and they lied to us, but we got it back. And they only stole a little bit of our weed and it was the best thing. We're so happy that we're back. We beat them. Heart of the rock, wet as a river. I was wearing my Jordan Jesse Go t-shirt yesterday. Love you guys. Bye.
Wow. You know, Jordan Jesse Go became a true crime podcast so slowly I barely even noticed.
Why is it popular all of a sudden? That was both exciting and hard to follow, much like the Mission Impossible movies.
Wow.
It had action.
Yeah, it had everything. Was Henry Cavill in that?
Can you imagine this, Jordan?
Hmm.
Not, what, 5-10 minutes ago, we received a telephone call from a woman whose beloved husband had just found out that his beloved grandfather had two buttholes where on most men there would be one.
Mm-hmm.
Yet somehow the stakes have been raised on call number two.
Man.
Some young Canadian women went on a car chase to retrieve a phone from some women they thought were their friends.
But they weren't.
They weren't.
No,
they went down
of
a
theirs.
Bumpy road.
They went down a bumpy road.
They made an illegal right turn.
Illegal
which
right
is
turn.
Much more difficult than to make an illegal left turn.
Sure, it's hard to make an illegal right turn.
Yeah,
they're
usually
mostly legal.
Usually you're good to go.
They're usually quite legal.
Make that right. But it's Canada. Everything's a little backwards up there.
Yeah, maybe you have to. Maybe you're not allowed to make it on a red.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
Yeah, possible.
Then they got themselves a shadow car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is.
I didn't understand. It sounded like they were saying there was a car in between.
Yeah.
So they didn't know they were being followed, but I have no idea if that's correct. Shadow car operators, please.
I would
let
have
us
to
know.
I would have to ask Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
He's the only person who would know.
Yes.
That the only person I know who would know what a shadow car is. Mm-hmm. Possibly Mark Evan Jackson.
Yeah.
Either
he knows
or.
A lot of things.
Either
he knows
or.
A lot of things.
He knows a lot. He once gave you a restaurant recommendation.
That's right. Gave me a great restaurant recommendation.
So, you know, you never know about Mark Evan Jackson. Maybe he knows what a shadow car is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know what a Shadow Stevens is.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in the end, they got the phone back, and there's a coup de grace. They took fucking selfies with it.
Yeah. They did.
These so-and-sos.
But only some of their weed.
Yeah.
Was the weed in the phone somehow? Was it in part of a little case or something?
Are you still smoking analog weed?
Yeah, but I guess so. Like a fucking chump.
No, yeah,
I got sorry. Go ahead.
All my weed is blockchain now. Go ahead, sure. Linda.
I got the impression that they broke into the car, or they were in the car, had access
sure,
to the car.
And they stole the phone and a bit of the weed.
Stole the phone, but only some of the weed.
Mm-hmm.
That was my reading. That was my reading.
Okay. Fuck. And it was a tag team call that they handled very well. They were both audible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great give and take, call and response. That's what you want.
They told us they loved us.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that just means a lot to me just because I had a kind of distant, sort of a troubled relationship with my parents.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
So it's nice when anonymous like, Canadians tell you they love you.
I know intellectually that they love me, but there's
right,
just certain
sure,
things that
you
stand in between.
A sort
of, that kind of feeling
it,
of comfort.
Yes.
You
and
know,
your parents almost never tell you they were wearing your shirt.
Yeah, that's true. And my parents stole all of my weed.
So there you go.
Which, yeah, come on.
Fucking narcs. Fucking narcs.
God, my parents are such total narcs, dude.
Narcs.
Such fucking narcs.
I hate narcs.
Oh, I hate narcs. Do you hate narcs?
Sure.
By the way, Linda and I just got into Breitbart.
No.
By saying we hate narcs.
Well, anyway, I'm not on this show anymore.
Yeah.
I have to do another podcast.
So voice memo it, email it to jjgo@maximumfun.org, or just give us a call, 206-984-4FUN. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we're
Everything's Coming Up Simpsons.
We are a Simpsons podcast on the Maximum Fun Network, and we've got some exciting news.
Ooh, tell me.
We are going to be doing some live podcast shows in some of our favorite cities. We're so excited, and we want to let you guys know out there in the Max Fun universe that we are coming to you.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. On Saturday, September 15th, we will be at the North Door in Austin, Texas.
Yeehaw.
On Saturday, December 1st, we will be at the Alamo Draft House, Sloan's Lake in Denver, Colorado.
There's no basement in the Alamo.
We'll find out. Friday, December 7th, we are going to be at the Vera Project in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, God. Nirvana.
Yes.
Okay.
And Saturday, December 8th, we will be at Mississippi Studios in Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Matt Groening lives there.
Yes.
Or once lived there.
He still lives there in our hearts. So make sure that you mark your calendars for those dates, and we will be posting the ticketing links on our Twitter. That is @SimpsonsPod, and we will smell you later. La,
la, la, la, la, la, la, la. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Linda Holmes, terrible lizard.
I'm trying to just keep it cool now because I got a little overstimulated in the last segment of the show.
I think we all did.
Yeah. Take it down. Let's close on a chill note. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's now we're listening to drone metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you turn
the chillest of the metals.
If you turn it way up, it literally makes you defecate.
Right, yeah. It's a very, very small difference between a chill note and a brown note.
Yeah.
Very small.
Linda Holmes, you, of course, are the host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour.
That is true.
A terrific podcast.
Alongside other friends of Jordan Jesse Go, including but not limited to Glenn Weldon.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Stephen Thompson, calling him a friend of Jordan Jesse Go, maybe it's a stretch, a friendly acquaintance of Jordan Jesse Go, but Glenn is a close friend, friend of Jordan Jesse Go.
Glenn has spent more time on Maximum Fun shows than Stephen has.
Yeah. But Stephen,
he's welcome on anytime he's in L.A. I don't know if he makes it out here.
I don't think he's welcome.
Would love to have – oh, you don't
– No.
Yeah, not after that shit he pulled at the Grove. Bad for life.
Not coming on.
Nuts. Stephen, if you're out there, we'd love to have you on.
We would love to have Stephen Thompson on there. I think one time I upset Stephen Thompson by telling him about a record review that he wrote for the AV Club and mentioning that I had read it when I was in high school.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
He doesn't mind.
Okay, yeah. Good. I love Stephen Thompson.
Just don't talk shit about Zaxxon.
Yeah.
Every year on Stephen's birthday, Glenn retweets the same tweet, which says something about how everyone should tell Stephen that they love him because he is as a fish up on a dock and your attention is water over his gills. It's colorful.
Yes.
Stephen Thompson is a delight, as are all of the various fourth chairs of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. Some people think we only like Cat Chow, but we like other fourth chairs as well.
Audie Cornish, you're great.
Audie Cornish is fun.
Audie's fun. They're all fun.
Everyone should know that she doesn't really hate me.
Audie?
Because
Audie
challenged me and we had a fascinating conversation on my podcast, The Turnaround, it led a number of people to think that I was her enemy and thus I was their enemy.
Oh, no.
By the transitive property.
No,
we're colleagues.
She asks difficult questions, that means she thinks you said something interesting. That's a good thing.
Yeah, she's a serious journalist.
She is a serious journalist.
She has thoughts in her head. That's why.
Many thoughts. She's a wonderful person.
Linda, you also, I know you've been, what's the status of this book that we're all going to buy?
The book is coming out in less than a year now. The book is coming out in June of 2019. It's called Evie Drake Starts Over. It is a story of a young widow and a washed-up baseball player. And frankly, I need Rick Angel to stop living the plot of my book. Because he's going to ruin my book for everyone.
Rick Ankiel is a famous baseball player who was both a pitcher and a hitter, both very successfully in the major leagues. But most notably, his pitching career was derailed by the yips.
Correct. That is what that is one of the things the book is about. The book has a pitcher in it who has just kind of washed out of the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
It is sort of about retreating from your bad experiences. And the book is due out, like I said, June of 2019. I love it very much. I've had a very good experience doing it. A lot of things that can be very difficult were actually very easy. The cover was very easy. A lot of things have really been not as harrowing as they could have been. My team has been great. So June of 2019, and you will hear about it unendingly when it gets closer. I am trying not to overwhelm anybody right at the moment, but I really love it. I'm really proud of it. For a long time, I was always saying, like, it might be terrible, because that's what people do. I think it's especially what women do. If they've never done the thing before, like, please don't be first to tell me that it's terrible. I'll just say it's terrible. But I actually really love it. I really love it. I'm really happy with it.
Linda, if Rick Ankiel gets too close to the plot of the novel, and you think that you might be even getting into potential legal hot water.
Yeah.
Can I suggest that instead of being a pitcher for the Yankees, he could be Daddy Yankee? The reggaeton superstar.
You were going to say a bellyitcher. Both are good.
Either way.
Both are good.
Both would work.
Just a couple of pieces of constructive feedback from some straight white guys here now.
But I will say, the last thing I will tell you about Rick Ankiel is that when I wrote the book, one of the things that I had the pitcher saying when he was explaining what the yips were like was saying it was like pitching with somebody else's arm. And then I read Rick Ankiel's book. And you know what he says about the yips? It was like pitching with somebody else's arm. Fuck. And I felt so vindicated. I thought, you know.
I was going to guess that he said that it was like belly itching with somebody else's arm.
But I thought, you know, it was very edifying. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, it was very fulfilling to think maybe I read enough about this that I kind of understood it even before I heard somebody say that exact thing. And I felt great about it. Great about it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm excited, very excited. And it's a new thing.
Yeah, hopefully you are back around this way when it comes out. You can come back on the show and remind everyone to buy the book.
Yes, and I'm very excited, and I will be tweeting endlessly about it. So you can follow me, as always, at Linda Holmes and find out all about it.
Well, we're always thrilled to have you here, always grateful to have you here, Linda. Everyone should be listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour. Everyone should hear Linda on Pop Rocket.
Uh-huh. I was on Pop Rocket. Missing my buddy, Guy Branum, who's out promoting his great book.
Everyone should go buy Guy Branum's book, My Life is a Goddess.
Which is great. And he's a wonderful writer and really thoughtful person. Like me, came out of law school. So we share many things in common. And
are you also very good at Quiz Bowl? Were you on the Quiz Bowl team?
I was not on the Quiz Bowl team, but I did win a place on the Delaware State math team.
Nice. So,
and she says she leads with how terrible mm-hmm. she is. It's getting a little braggy in
That's
here.
That's right. I'm a little braggy.
You dropped your name of your high school event.
I was just going to say math. Math Counts, it was called. State Math Counts.
Oh, that's cute. Math counts.
Yeah, Math Counts.
I love it.
But you know what the trick is? The trick is you got to go to school in Delaware.
Yeah.
Because trying to get on the team in Delaware is a little easier than trying to get on the team in, let's say, California.
Hey, okay. Linda, when they call it Math Counts, maybe they should have thought about the amount of fucking people would do. It would be called Math Multiplies.
Whoa.
Teens on teams like to fuck.
Sure. I've been told.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Linda, thank you very much.
Yeah,
what a joy.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Jordan. This is so much fun. I love doing it.
You can join us on Twitter with the hashtag JJGo. You can join us on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com. You can join us by liking Facebook's Jordan Jesse Go page. You like how I fixed that sentence halfway through?
Yeah, it was great. Wouldn't have known. Wouldn't have known you were having a problem.
You can join the Max Fun Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And, Jordan, you're the creator of the hit podcast Bubble.
I sure am.
It's very good.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you
for the kind things you've said about it.
It is very good.
Episode 8 just came out.
Yeah.
That's the season finale,
baby.
That's it. A lot of revelations in this thing.
Sure, yeah.
A lot of big plot machinations. Mm-hmm. A lot of big news.
Yes.
If you were out there and you were waiting to binge it, because you love to binge all your mm-hmm. pods... You're a pod binger.
You're a nasty pod binger.
Are you nasty?
Yeah.
Binge this pod,
yeah.
baby. It's ready for you.
I know you're out there, Miss Jackson. Ready to binge the pod.
It is great.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan. Oh, wait. Our producer is Brian. He's the one laughing loud outside. His name is Fernandez. Brian Fernandez. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.